Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 podcasts on NPR.
How sweet that is. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Audrey Harkonnen.
And this is Back Talk. Audrey, we have a difficult movie.
Yes. A challenge.
Yes.
It was a challenge.
It's called Sorry Baby. it has an awful lot of good buzz from critics, but it is not an easy movie to review. Open by telling us, what's going on? Sorry Baby.
A woman is trying to make sense of her life and the direction of her life after a sexual assault.
Yeah.
After
they call it the big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It refers to it as a big thing.
Right, yeah.
A big thing that happened.
Right.
Isn't to
it,
me.
It's kind of realistic, isn't it?
Well, it is. Interesting way to put such an event in your life, especially PhD academic in a very... She's an English major, for heaven's sake.
Yes,
and
right.
This is what she says. Problem number one I have with this.
Yeah, she's a graduate student in a college in New England.
In New England.
Right, and it seemed to be somewhat prestigious. Looking forward to maybe getting a full-time job.
Yes, as are several of her in her circle. So
right.
That's an important factor in this as well.
Yeah, and how they pick on us professors, I'm telling you,
oh,
Audrey. We're constantly hitting on the young students. Kind of an attractive guy who was evaluating her written work. You can understand. One of the things I like is that the movie gets you to understand how important it is for her to have his approval.
Yes, it's vital
yeah.
for her and her career and her future, which is one thing. She and her roommate, her friend.
Her friend is a lesbian.
Yeah, and they're kind of offhandedly talking about this faculty advisor, and both of them are expressing interest in having sex with him. And then she kind of backs down, our main character, and says, well, you know, maybe I'll say maybe not.
Eva Victor is the actress. It's Agnes.
Correct.
So you think
Agnes
has...
Well, I think that she does, but this is the interesting turn of events, which I did appreciate trying to depict something like this. Some of her guilt and anxiety comes from the fact that she knows that she was attracted to him.
Huh.
And then there was a reciprocal act, and she decides to say no, does not do it in advance of any kind of contact. There apparently is some contact that occurs. Now she's grappling, I think, with the idea that, you know, did I bring it on myself? Did I set myself up? Or is he really a sleazeball? Or, you know, how do I move forward? I think that that was a good presentation.
Liked the way that they had the interaction between him, the advisor and the evaluator, and her. And she's such a, as an actress even, she's such a blank slate. I can't quite get a fix on her.
I can't.
Some of the things that you're saying. I had more the impression, most of the young women were attracted to him in some way or another. He was a
yes.
good-looking guy.
And, yes.
And whenever...
He was very complimentary, too.
Yeah. And when you have somebody in the position he's in, women attach themselves to an interaction. It
sure.
becomes very important to them, and very emotional to them, intellectual, career-wise, very important. So I could see all the pressures that are coming on her. Now, one of the things I liked, Audrey, about this movie is that the assault does not dominate, the big thing.
That is, the big thing does not.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate the fact that it's being presented in a way that really drives home the idea that that kind of an assault... very personal, in whether it's on a male or a female involved, is so very individual.
Yeah.
And not only the assault itself, but
yeah.
the aftermath.
Yeah, that's
and
a good point.
And how the person digests and moves on.
Filmmaker who is Eva
yes.
Victor. She's writer, director,
yes,
and actress.
Yeah, the whole thing.
That's why she reminds me of Greta Gerwig in that talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They show absolutely nothing about the contact. Nothing about the assault. It's all a long shot showing the house.
The house.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yes.
It would, and you saw the passage of time because it got dark, and then the door opens.
Yes.
And she sort of flies out. She's got her shoes in her hand and sits down on the porch and puts her shoes on very quickly as he just sort of stands in the doorway. And she doesn't run away, but she moves away quickly. And I do think that was very, very well done.
Yeah.
Very creative.
She's an interesting actress. She's about 5'11".
Yes.
And she's a beanpole, really.
Yeah.
But yet she is a beautiful woman in her own way. Works well on her own film. And because of getting away from that big thing and into how she navigates her life, not necessarily because of the big thing.
Right.
But because there are other things that are happening to her.
That is
true. Like what you and I know so well, academic politics.
Yes.
I mean, she has colleagues who are looking at the same opening that's possibly going to happen when he leaves.
Right.
Which they take care of that right away.
Yeah. That bit of academic politics was a very fast move. First, she is met with human resources and the women who basically say the time doesn't work. He quit and then you reported this, so he doesn't.
How about those? How about those females?
Oh,
were they objectionable or
boom,
what?
Boom, boom, boom.
I mean,
they're in and out, and right.
they are not going to give her any support.
No, they are not. And then I imagine that the idea of giving her that full time position was already in the works, and that's why.
Yeah.
Don't take this
any
further.
That's a good point.
Wink, wink.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, you're going to be okay.
How about the doctor?
That was an interesting encounter in that, once again, this is a highly educated group of people. And she has arrived with an assault diagnosis. And he's asking her the routine questions. And their expectations are that he's going to be soft and fuzzy. And
Listen to the nurse talk. And
well,
I love
sorry,
you.
Sorry
I love
about
you because I thought he was a creep. And you're saying, no, he's doing his job.
He's doing his job because the soft and fuzzy and empathetic and all of that is not a part of what he does. She goes to the emergency room, and there's a whole team of people who do that part.
Right.
He's just there to ask the hard questions. What happened?
But she doesn't go to the... Right.
No,
because they have no kit.
Well, and that's another thing, is that I hate to criticize her... the writer's decision about every woman knows, and men know, for that matter,
yeah.
but every woman knows. You don't take a shower. You don't clean
right,
up.
Yeah.
You save your clothing. You go right to the emergency room.
How right you are.
Because that is the medical facility that is prepared to help you.
Yes, right. Yes.
This.
So there's no kit. So there's no way. There's no physical evidence.
Right,
which they need to pursue it.
And she would have been very, very softly and empathetically told that by the appropriate social workers and psychologists and things like that. She's just in a doctor's office.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. But for them to react, especially the roommate, the way she talked to a physician was a little bit surprising.
Oh, all right, good. Your professional
evaluation. I worked in emergency departments, and especially younger people, they're not snarky. They're scared.
Yeah.
They're scared. So I find that not to be terribly credible.
Well, I'll tell you one of the confusing things about it, that she actually admits later on she did not want him to be prosecuted. And for a reason that I thought was fascinating to me is that she wanted him to be able to change his life.
Change his life.
Because if he had to go away, it wouldn't have been as helpful as his being free to become a better person than he was. And I thought that was something I hadn't thought about before.
That
but it's, of course, it's not a good reason. If she's outraged by his assault, she needed to go right away.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
She did not.
Which is another reason why I think what she's thinking about is that, well, I had told Rumi that I'd go to bed with him, but maybe not. But if he asked, I'd say maybe not. So she was thinking about him in a romantic regard. She continues that thought process. She's not going to prosecute. She's not going to go after him so he can go on and change his life and be a better person. And
So what happens with her life? Now, we have the formulaic notion that women are traumatized by this for their whole life and so on. And she doesn't seem to be so. What's her life like outside of the assault? Is she able to come to terms with it and move on romantically, for instance?
Well, romantically, not just her the casual relationship that she's begun and created and seems to be agreeable to the neighbor. The two of them are having interaction in it, in a relationship.
Lucas Hedges, I think, plays the neighbor.
Yeah, the neighbor.
Kind of a cute guy.
In the reviews, he's always singled out. So he really, really does a great job of just being the guy there and doing a good job.
And dramatically it works out because he's really the opposite of the predatory professor.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's interested in her, and she's not initially, I think, interested in him until...
She becomes more comfortable with just his simplicity and his honesty.
It was a really strange but affecting scene with the two of them in the bathtub.
In the bathtub.
That was
unique.
It was unique. It was awkward.
Yes.
It's a little bit sexy, but it seemed to reflect her.
Right.
Because she is, to me, she's always awkward.
Right.
Except when she's teaching. Yes. Apparently she's very...
And that is what was so surprising, is that I found this group of people so inarticulate.
Yes.
But when she is in front of a classroom, she's very insightful.
Audrey, the film is called Sorry Baby. I think I know what you're going to recommend, but go ahead.
It is an interesting film. I would not have high expectations for it, but if you decide to see it. But it's interesting.
Audrey, we're still talking about Eva Victor's film called Sorry Baby.
Right.
In which the central incident, which turns out not to be the central incident, is the big thing that happens. It's an assault.
Yes.
Assault on a college campus, and the kind that probably has been written about 100 times between professor and student.
Yes.
Seems to be a seedbed for this bad stuff that happens, and how she gets around that and how she continues on her life. I'm a Greta Gerwig fan, and so I come to it better than you do. That is, in other words, I'm ready to accept the slow pace, which is certainly it has that slow pace.
Yes.
And I'm ready to accept the ambiguities that come with it, because I suspect that this whole business of assault, which we'll talk about in a minute in movies, is a complicated business, I think,
yes,
as you
is.
Have indicated.
It is. Yeah. And what constitutes
assault. And what constitutes it.
Yeah.
And your major fault with the movie would be, tell me.
I find the characters, although kind of quirky and supposed to be kind of funny, if she had the setting and the environment different, I just don't buy the fact that this happened in an academic setting because of the conversations and the discussions and how they verbalize to one another. I enjoy slang and casual talk, but they did not sound like well-educated, college-level...
hyper-educated.
They did not sound... As a matter of fact, the most interesting, the most empathetic, the kindest, and the deepest conversation that she has is with the sandwich guy parking lot.
Great point.
He's a guy who owns a sandwich shop. Deep and sensitive and understanding.
It's a great scene.
Yeah.
It's almost like a set piece put in there and then pull it out. And
John Carroll Lynch.
Yes, right. Well-known actor.
Yes, yes.
It is cute. He has a great sandwich.
Yeah.
And he gives her some great advice.
Right.
You know, I really like your contrast between the two. I thought at some moments that she and her cohorts were acting more like high school kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
High school, very, very junior high school.
I mean, you and I have both been a long time in academia.
Right.
So we have a right to contest. And most of the almost all the women I've met have been sophisticated.
Yes.
And have had very fine thoughts.
Right.
And words. And it wasn't so here.
Right,
you're right.
Right. She had an opportunity to show us a little higher level of vocabulary when she's being selected for jury duty. And she just comes up with the same bad thing happened to me 3 years ago, and yeah. I don't want to tell you about it, and I don't want to talk about it.
So yeah. I liked it. You didn't like it so much, but I think it's worth it to see her. Now, you may remember that her progenitor is probably Greta Gerwig, and Greta was a big hit 2 years ago with Barbie.
Oh.
Beyond the smash of Barbie, she had little films that I like that frequently is a college student. So she has that a little bit of nerdy, diffident character, but very likable. Lady Bird, Mistress America, and Frances Ha are three of her small... She's the wife of Noah Baumbach, and the two of them, I think, were responsible for the Barbie phenomenon. Mm-hmm. But I like the young woman making her way in this primarily male-dominated world.
Yes.
And getting out of it and smashing through it. And so I like that. So that's why I come to Eva Victor's film, Sorry Baby, with really positive thoughts about it. And it left me not understanding as much as I thought I would about assault, but seeing that if you're going to get by it, that you're going to have to get on with it.
Yes.
And I think that's probably the point. But let's look at assault in movies. I made up a list, and you know what I forgot? I've remembered, obviously, but you know what I forgot on the list?
What did you forget?
Thelma and Louise.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Isn't that an assault in there? That
sure is. Yeah. Huh. For that is one of them that, as I was looking up,
okay. Various kinds of, yeah.
Thelma and Louise was appeared on all of the lists.
And it strikes me that Thelma and Louise did the same thing. We don't see that assault, do we?
No, we don't.
We don't see that assault either. And it's how Thelma and Louise...
They escape.
Yeah.
And go on a road trip.
It's very definitely before, but Me Too.
Yes.
It's got a bitterness about it.
Sure.
And an ending that I always thought was problematic, with the car suspended.
It was a spectacular blow-up of a finish.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Yeah. Blue Gardenia, 1953.
Oh, this is with her, with...
Yeah, Ann Baxter. She is wined and dined by a gentleman and gets a little groggy drunk and is invited back to his apartment. And then something happens and she comes to and sobers up and she finds him beaten to death. And so she takes off. She is the one that's tracked down. And
I must have seen that.
I'm sure you have.
Here's a notorious one. Ooh. She said.
I recall the title, but I cannot.
I'll give you a name.
Okay.
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
The two New York Times journalists, their investigative report exposed the countless sexual assaults
against
the former Hollywood producer. He becomes the iconic note of this whole business.
Right.
Disgusting. Everybody, male and female.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I have one that you wouldn't necessarily have thought about. Spotlight. Okay, so this was an Oscar winner a few years ago. True events, Catholic Church.
Oh.
So they went after the church.
Yeah.
The systemic sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. Remember the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
So that's a different way of looking at assault. In Sorry Baby, it's more individualistic. It's more personal.
Very personal. Very, very intimate.
But this one takes on the whole business.
Right.
And since I'm a former Catholic boy, it hurts.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected you to do this one. The Last Duel. Now, this was with...
Tell me about this one.
Adam Driver, Mark Damon, Medieval Times, an action film based on a book that tells the story of a brutal rape committed by a squire in the 14th century and King Charles VI for justice to be... decided by a duel, a trial by combat, which would declare the combatant left alive the winner. Anyway, that's a different take on assault, isn't it?
I have one for you.
Yeah, good.
1971.
All right.
Clockwork Orange.
Oh,
how about that? Thank you.
My gosh. Yeah.
That is as bizarre as it gets.
Wow.
Yeah, it's out there.
And yes.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, that's surreal.
It is.
Yeah.
We're going to the other extreme now, talking about assaults.
Yeah.
And
made the mistake of bringing my 7-8-year-old daughter while I was setting up the film. I was in charge of film at my first teaching job.
Oh.
Projectionist didn't show up, so I took Thea with me as I was setting up, right through the rape scene.
That's...
Now, can you imagine what my wife thought about me?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine how many times...
It's just a scary film.
How many times she brought that up? Your father?
Yes.
Well, Thea, however, along with... She loved Harold and Maude. And so she became a development person in Hollywood and a writer. And, and she's still doing all that. She has 3 books and didn't hurt her that much. But I'm just thinking that's a great example.
Yeah.
Here's one, North Country, which I think is with Charlize. Sexual harassment in the northern Minnesota iron mine. And she's assaulted by a coworker and files a lawsuit, which leads to a landmark change in workplace sexual misconduct policies. Good outcome in North Country, but brutal. More recently, Carey Mulligan in Promising Young Woman, and in which she plays, she's seeking vengeance on men who assault women under the influence of clubs and bars.
Oh.
And it's called Promising Young Woman, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
After her classmate is raped and perpetrator incurs no consequences, she spends her evenings feigning drunkenness only to eventually reveal her sobriety just as men are about to take advantage of her in their homes.
Oh, wow.
It's a really good one. It's a good Me Too. Good.
Going way, way back.
All right.
Rain, 1932.
Whoa.
Joan Crawford.
Get out.
Yeah, she starts out as a prostitute who ends up on an island.
Wow.
There's a minister and his wife. The minister decides to convert her. And she actually does change her ways, and then he rapes her. And then he throws himself into the ocean and commits suicide.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, it was remade as Sadie Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Miss Sadie Thompson.
Good one.
Yeah, in the 50s. The conversion of the prostitute, and then she converts him and goes back to her old ways.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good one. Well, you're good on those older films.
Yeah,
I
like
love
those.
That. Well, Audrey Harkonnen, we sure made a lot out of a movie that you didn't particularly care for.
Yeah.
And that I found affecting, but not the greatest I've ever seen.
Right.
But it's called Sorry Baby.
Yes.
And we have just got our hands dirty on some assault films.
Right.
I think we had some interesting choices. Audrey, what do you recommend for Sorry Baby?
Well, the one component that I think is very interesting, and we were talking about this earlier, is how does she process this event that occurs to her?
Yes.
And I think the last scene where she's holding her friend's infant.
Oh, good one.
And she says, now talking to this infant, saying, don't be afraid to say things, and don't be afraid that I will be afraid to hear them. And it is almost... Yeah, her genuine feelings that she didn't express to anybody else, but she's telling this infant.
And I love that scene as well.
Yeah.
And the suggestion that life is not going to be easy.
Yep.
To the baby, and it's really telling us what she's thinking.
Talk about it, and don't be afraid that you're going to upset somebody if you tell them this.
Well, it's an art film.
Yep.
And I'll bet we have some PhD candidates out there who are going to go to see this movie called Sorry Baby.
Sorry Baby.